Episode 60. Welcome to the Take Up Code podcast, where you can learn valuable insights and skills in programming. I'm Waheed Tanner, and will be your host today. The singleton creational pattern is simple and often used. It's actually used a bit too often, so this episode will give you some caution and provide some ideas to modify this pattern when needed. The best way to become a professional programmer is to start writing code. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. Have you considered attending a Take Up Code free live class? Text PROGRAM to 44222 and you'll be on your way. The basic description says that this pattern ensures that there's only one instance of a class and that there's global access to that single instance. First of all, why would anybody want to restrict the number of instances to just a single one? Some aspects of your program might represent services or features which really do exist just once. Maybe you only want one log file to ever be created, or you have just a single database where you keep important information, or you only want to ever open a single communication channel with a server computer. There will be times when you want to restrict instances like this, and the singleton pattern shows you a simple way to accomplish this. Let's take this step by step. In order to ensure that there's only one instance, we need some way to control access to what code can create instances. All we need is to protect the constructors. After all, if outside code can't call the constructors, then it can't create instances. This means we need the constructors to be either protected or private. If the constructors are protected, then all some other code needs to do is derive from our class and it has full access to the constructors. Sure, we won't have instances of just this class everywhere, but instead this class will be included as a base class instance in other classes. That's not what this pattern describes. The only way then to make sure that instances can never be created is to make all the constructors private. But wait a minute, what good is a class that can never be constructed? Remember that making a method private restricts access to that method from any code outside of the class itself. But other code in the class is allowed to call private methods. There's another important step needed to implement a singleton, and for that we need a static method. You can listen to episode number 32, which describes static methods if you need to. A static method can be called even without creating an instance of the class. It will have access to the private constructors even if the static method is itself public. The static method is usually called instance or getInstance, and it acts as a gatekeeper. You see, before it creates a new instance of the singleton class, it first checks if it's ever been called yet and previously created an instance. If so, then it just returns the first instance that was created. If the instance method is called a second or a third time or the 100th time, it still continues to return the same instance that was first created. The only time this method actually creates the singleton is on the very first request, and then it just makes sure to save that instance in a private static data member so it will know what instance to return the next time. You just need three things to implement a singleton. Number one, keep your constructors private. You may only need a single constructor, just keep it private. Number two, declare a public static method that returns either a pointer or a reference to the singleton class. Don't return a copy, or that defeats the whole purpose of this pattern. Number three, declare a private static pointer or reference to the singleton that the instance method can update the first time it's called with the one and only instance. This is one of the most simple patterns, which may be why it's used so often. It seems like a good thing to do, right? Instead of creating a global variable, make it a singleton. The problem is that it's still globally available anywhere. It really is a little better than a global variable. I'll show you some problems and some alternatives right after this message from our sponsor. Even the most famous programming experts had to start somewhere. The one thing that all professional programmers share is that we take action. Go ahead, text PROGRAM to 44222 now. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. It's hard, I know, to get started, and if you need some help, then all you need to do is register for one of the Take Up Code free live classes. You can attend with just your computer and an internet connection from anywhere in the world. These are live workshops instead of just lectures. You get enough lecturing already. These are fun workshops. You have enough boring tasks already. And these are focused on results. You get tangible results from the beginning. Text the word PROGRAM to 44222 and you'll be on your way. You can also visit TakeUpCode.com to begin. The first thing that comes to mind is, why just a single instance? What if you want to allow two instances, or three, or some other specific number? If you find yourself needing exclusive access to an instance for a short while and then want to return that instance so that other code can use it once you're done, then the singleton pattern is probably not a good fit. Take a library, for example, that has a specific number of each book. I don't recommend that you try to use a singleton to keep track of each of the books. When I say that you may want two or more instances, I'm still talking about unrestricted access to those instances from anywhere. You could accomplish this by adding some extra parameters to the instance method that allow you to customize each singleton. Then, instead of the singleton having a single private static data member of the first instance, it can track an array of unique instances. This would let you ask for an instance of your singleton from anywhere, and the singleton class would still act as a gatekeeper, but this time it would check if it had ever created an instance with the same set of configuration values before or not. A singleton like this would allow you, for example, to manage several different log files, and anytime some code asks for a log file that's already been created, then that matching log file would be returned. If a new log file instance is requested, then the singleton could go ahead and create it and add the new log file to the list of log files being tracked. A slightly more difficult problem, though, has to do with the global nature of singletons. Whether there's just one or several, they're still global. Anytime your program deals with global information, it will be harder to debug problems. This is because the scope of a global variable is everywhere. It can be accessed and modified from anywhere. It's tempting to use global variables in places that you don't want them used. But because they're global, you have no way to restrict them. Some languages might give you extra ways to handle this. For example, in C#, instead of making the instance method public, maybe it would be better to make it internal. This will limit the access to your singleton to just that one assembly. It's still global within that assembly. Anything you can do to limit scope will almost always be a good thing. This is one of the few statements that I'm tempted to say always applies. Limit scope as much as possible. But I'll stop just short of making this a rule because there's almost always exceptions. See, I even left room for an exception in the exceptions. I'll end this episode with a warning. The singleton pattern is easy to implement and seems like it gives you some great results. Just use it sparingly. That global access can really cause problems in a large project. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the other episodes, and if you get value, please give the Take Up Code podcast a rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a review. I'll select several people who take the time to provide thoughtful reviews, good or bad, and give you a shout out and a big thank you during our Q&A Fridays. Your support goes a long way to helping this podcast thrive and help others learn how to program. If you have any questions about this episode or even other programming questions, please ask. Just go to takeupcode.com/contact and submit your question. The Q&A Friday episodes are where I'll answer one or more submitted questions. Until next time, keep learning, but even better, keep doing. If you want to learn how to program, then start programming, and you will learn and get better, and your mind will expand in ways you never thought possible.